views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I'm actually really surprised we haven't done for B for our 31 Days of Halloween for Brain Damage yet, because that's such a valuable film when talking about movies that the deep-seated horror nerds love, but doesn't have a wider audience like some of them do.
Yeah, agreed. Although, I gotta give it up to one of the other shows on network. They showed that on one of their movie nights.
That's true.
Strange yeah. Ways at the brewery, yeah.
And when you hear Elmer, the for lack of a better term, the symbiote, the alien creature that takes over his body, has this like, well, hello! Just this very, like, he sounds like he's about to try to sell you Werther's. His fucking voice.
Maybe that can be in the next
that's
Venom
the
movie,
sequel, yeah. Oh, man, Venom versus Elmer would be interesting.
I mean,
Venom would win, yeah.
He would. I mean, well, Venom would win off aggression, but Elmer would just be so cute. He'd be like, oh, man, why are you trying to hit me? Come on, Venom.
Look, how about this? I'll split my brains with you. And Venom's like, ooh, I like this guy.
Yeah, because Venom wants brains too, so there you go.
And then Walter Koenig's symbiote comes out of his ear and is like, oh, did somebody say brains?
It is interesting that they went more into the specifics of Venom wanting a specific
chemical
that's in the brain, and also apparently chocolate. Which is why there was like fucking candy wrappers everywhere. And I love seeing Tom Hardy living in an apartment that looked like my first apartment when I lived in Richmond, where there's just like holes everywhere and just trash all over the place.
Yeah, Tom Hardy gives a vibe that like that might actually be his apartment.
I've got to agree with Tondi there. Like, I mean, Tom Hardy does always kind of look dirty in anytime you see him. Like, it's just, I mean, that's probably his look, but like,
apparently that's just all white actors in Hollywood are just dirty and smell bad. According to, what was that? That went across Twitter like a month ago that apparently nobody bathes in Hollywood.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal had to like roll it back. He's like, I was just joking around in an interview and I wash. I bathed tonight. I came out clean.
And then you've got the clean, I think John Hamm smells like suede.
Leather and cigars. That's what I get from, and whiskey.
He smells like aqua velva. He's got an old school vibe to him. Maybe high karate.
High karate.
And then
could we at least give him Dracar Noir? Could we at least give him that?
Well, I smell like Dracar Noir, so I don't want to be the old school vibe, but I guess, yeah.
So what you're saying is if I smelled you intensely later, I would understand what it would be to be near John Hamm.
Yes, when you smell me intensely later, then you will get that feeling.
Perfect.
And then, of course, Woody Harrelson just smells like dank weed.
Just weed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Considering just how many places it's legal to smoke weed, there's no way that Woody Harrelson wasn't stoned as fuck the entire filming of Venom 2.
I don't know. Judging by that horrible fucking hairpiece, I assume strawberries.
Strawberries?
Dude, like, they got rid of the curly fucking hair from the cutscene of the first Venom to this fucking Mayberry-looking shit.
Well, then he had that neo pompadour when he was in the fucking in the car. That pompadour that I'm like, am I watching some fucking? Am I watching Crybaby 2 Electric Venom Boogaloo or what is?
It was like, okay, we got the first wig at Party City, and then the other one was like Spirit. So they just like upgraded it just a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, it was horrible. That was fucking terrible.
We are talking about a Venom 2. Electric Boogaloo for sure. Let There Be Carnage. That level of thought that went into the subtitle of this film really does set up your expectations on the jokes and the level of dialogue that happens in this movie.
That level of title setup makes you know that it's the kind of movie that is definitely going to say that line in the movie somewhere at some point.
Yes! Mm-hmm. No, I was going to say the same thing. Fucking dude! When I heard that movie, I was like, it was like Will Smith in Suicide Squad. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, the number of times that he tells people he kills people. Yes, we know, Will Smith.
No, he's like, what are we, some kind of Suicide Squad?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Go fuck yourself in the face.
It will surely be a planet of apes.
Yeah. The number of times that Woody Harrelson is just like, I just like carnage. Yes, we know pompadoured Woody Harrelson.
He literally says, let there be carnage.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Like, all I want is carnage. Let there be carnage.
Fucking terrible.
I'm carnage. Meet my friend carnage. He says meet my friend carnage in this fucking movie.
Yes, he does.
Carnage, be nice to my wife.
He's like, leave her alone.
Carnage, I understand that you don't like my girlfriend, but don't be such a dick about it. You know, I mean, there's so much. But I do want to get it, because I did enjoy this movie in some ways.
For different reasons.
So let's get into the episode, because I'm really interested to both pick apart and kind of celebrate this movie in different ways. Geeks Under the Influence, Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage. Woo!
It hurts when you say, like, the title is just terrible.
Let There Be Carnage.
It's like, terrible.
It's about as hokey as, like, there was a firefight. You know,
just, but done well better because Willem Dafoe, and he just kills it.
No, but it's that same level when you think about Willem Dafoe just firing a gun in the air while he's talking about the scene that happened.
Yeah, and it's just
him and the cops looking at the scene. He's envisioning what's happening. Nobody else around him is seeing the events of the firefight. And it's just a cop in the middle of the street just shooting in the air, and the other cops being like, what the fuck, dude?
Yo, bro.
This is a residential neighborhood.
You know, the bullets got to come down, right? Yeah. Oh, like, shit.
This isn't New Year's in Chicago. Calm down. Like, <it's... laughs>
oh.
So before we get into this very wacky, I think, episode of GUI, let's get into our cast of symbiotes on this one. To my left, from my handle is Jonathan Blade, we've got Tondi here.
I'm here.
You're here. I was happy to have you on for this because, well, you are not one to pull punches when talking about a film and whether you like it or not. But
no,
you always
I'm
have
not.
You have a very good reason for your feelings on the matter. So
usually, yes.
Usually, yeah. It's not just, well, I don't know, I just didn't like it. There's some actual value there. And this is, I don't think this is going to be a polarizing superhero film, but...
It's not big enough to be polarizing.
It's not big enough to be polarizing, but it's definitely, there are going to be people landing on either side of this a bit, I think.
I don't know. I feel like there's a middle ground. I feel like there is a middle ground with it.
With this, well, there's, well,
understanding
first off,
what it is.
They didn't have a minority female protagonist, so it's fine as far as there being a middle ground, you know? There's no middle ground when there's a female protagonist that's especially a minority female, and if she's gay, fuck it. No, worst movie ever. out the gate. Speaking of women, we has one on this episode.
We has us a woman.
That's all I had. I'm sorry.
Dude, what the fuck was that?
I'll work on a better segue and then put that in.
No, like, I think it's perfect
bad,
the way it is.
It's a really bad edit in post production.
I feel like that's perfect okay, the way it was. Yeah. It's perfect the way it was.
Our specialist on the 90s and all things boy bands, as well as a lover of superhero film as well, a creator, a comedian, Tori is here.
Hello, everyone.
And what's your blog? What's the...
letstalkpop.net.
Yeah, where if you want to get your fill of boy band information, as well as 90s-centric pop culture stuff.
Also follow me on TikTok.
On the TikToks.
On the TikToks.
At Tori Saip.
It's just you staring thirstily at fucking NSYNC videos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, no, one just got removed for adult nudity and sexual content. But they put it back up. So
because you put your pants back on or what the...
No, just me glancing at the music video holding the marionette. I don't know. It just really upset them.
What?
It really upset them.
They apparently have a too thirsty clause in their content now.
Their instincts just still too hot to handle.
Maybe clearly. We should watch that TikTok right now, and then the episode is just about Tori's TikTok.
Right?
They got pulled.
So if you want to see a thirsty Tori lusting over all the members of NSYNC, then definitely check out the TikTok, which is at
Tori Saip.
S-I-P-E, correct?
Correct, okay. Yes.
Speaking of thirsty, the gentleman that makes me thirsty on every episode.
Oh, hey.
Where he has to calm me down, much like that scientist woman that handled that dolphin in the 1970s. He has to jerk me under the table. we've got my cohort in crime for all things GY, the show and the network, Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's going on? What am I jerking now?
I made a reference like everybody knows this story. There was a scientific experiment back in the 1970s, I believe, where they gave a dolphin LSD and then... He got kind of wily sometimes because he was a dolphin on LSD. And to calm him down, one of the scientist women just jerked off the dolphin. And he got...
Regularly?
Like regularly, on a regular basis to calm him down. And then when the experiment ended, the dolphin had maintained such a connection with this woman that the dolphin literally killed itself.
Wow. Yeah. So I understand the whole calm down, just jerk it off. That makes perfect sense to me. Like, I swear to God, ladies, anytime you're in a fight, just like stroke it.
Oh my God, could that be just a thing we tell like our partners to do from now on? Is that if ever you want to win the argument, just start jerking me, and then
I think they know that already. I don't think that's like a big hidden relationship.
Well, they don't fucking do it. So hey. Maybe a reminder.
It's like how women never admit they're wrong, but if they're like, after the fight, they're like, you want a little, then you know that you won the fight. That's what you get.
Mm.
That's all you get.
Also, I don't know if I want, like,
I mean, you say all about
it. I want a partner to be mad at me while jerking me at the same time, because then she's like, yeah, motherfucker, yeah, you like that? Just like really angrily, where it's like painful, but not so painful that I want them to stop.
It's the right balance, right?
Yeah. I mean, I admit when I'm wrong, but I'm always right, so I never have to.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
There, exactly. There we go. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, the man who apparently likes angry hand jobs, which I never gave you an angry one, so I don't know. You never let me know that.
No, you've given me a hand job while you were angry, but you are a professional, sir, and you never let your anger translate into the hand job. So see? I appreciate that.
Integrity. What are they talking about? See, integrity.
It's never too tight.
Never too tight. The man who likes my non-aggressive while I'm angry hand job.
Yeah,
my Dabba Bicket.
That's me.
Hey.
I feel like our relationship with hand jobs is the same that Tom Hardy has with Venom, because if one thing that they really leaned on very hard on the sequel is that there is a romantic relationship between these two.
They have to coexist in the same body. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, there's definitely like...
I actually kind of would have liked them to leave. I wish it was an R movie, first of all, because there are a lot of things that they could have done in that movie that would have made it better for what it was, but one of those things was an actual relationship between Eddie and Venom.
And it's happened in the comics. It has actually happened in the comics.
And I agree 100%, because the first thing I got to say about this movie, going with that as well, but also I wish Sony wasn't so fucking rock hard to have their fucking 90-minute goddamn runtime, because this movie was cut to shit. Can we agree that watching this was kind of painful at times because it was so edited and cut and put back together?
It was a bit rushed for sure, yeah.
I feel like that was a saving grace, actually.
No, I feel like that was some, like, the dude gets put in the trunk and then he fucking is driving the car. What the fuck?
I mean, they immediately started filming this like right after the first one. It was just like so fast. Like, yeah. This one was just too fast. I mean, again, like the first Venom, it was way too fast, but this was also fast. And, you know, maybe with it being pushed back a year because of the pandemic, maybe they edited more. Who knows? Like, I don't...
Sony wanted to keep a hard, like, 90-some minute runtime.
Well, and I think a lot of movies actually suffered from that, is that if you have a property available to you that if there's not a due date and due, you're going to keep editing it and trying to make it better. And, like, any creator knows that there's a point where there's such a thing as overdoing it, and mm-hmm. then you need to like keep it. There needs to be a point with a painting or editing a podcast or a movie or a song to walk the fuck away, because you're only gonna make it worse. Like, mm-hmm. you're thinking you're making it better. No, you're not. You're making it fucking worse. Just leave it alone.
I think, like, if they were so obsessed with the 90-minute runtime, Andy Serkis was not a good idea, since he's only in like 4 hour long
right?
movies.
Exactly. I mean, the only thing he directed prior to this was what, Mowgli? And it was like mm-hmm. almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, what
yeah.
the fuck? Like, why are you going to give him?
And the thing is, I don't think he made necessarily he's a bad director or anything, but I think that he was picked for the wrong reasons. They looked at him as Gollum, and he's like, oh, they're like, he understands a character that has like a separate personality that is kind of chaotic. But,
well, I think they picked him because CGI monster versus CGI monster, who has an idea for how this should look and move
sure,
on screen.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But they detoothed Venom and Carnage in this movie to a degree.
So from the first Venom, even though I enjoyed that movie, they definitely, as Hobbit said, detoothed Venom. In this movie, like, sometimes it was painful of how neutered everything fucking was.
And I think part of the reason is they want to preserve Eddie Brock, the character, as a hero, where you're still rooting for him. And Eddie Brock's always been a douchebag in the comics. And Venom's always been an anti-hero, where he does really shitty stuff sometimes. And sometimes just straight up a villain. But to preserve Eddie Brock as somebody you're rooting for, they had to detooth Venom and make Eddie Brock less of a dick. And it, I think the movie did suffer to a degree from that.
Yeah, and the strange thing is that Eddie Brock is not, he's not really a hero. They kind of, they posit, what if Venom itself is a hero for whatever reason? I'm not sure how you get there. I remember in the last movie, he was like, I think I want to defend this city or something. But Eddie Brock is still a douchebag. He's still kind of lost, which they push that point pretty hard in this movie, too.
And what they did with Venom, not just detoothed, but they also made him like a whiny little bitch.
Yeah.
Like, there's times where he's literally like, they love me. Like, when the fuck has Venom cared about who the fuck loves him and who doesn't?
That
like, let's
weird.
Be real. Let's be real. Like,
it almost felt like Deadpool-esque. Like, we're trying to make Venom kind of like Deadpool.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's PG-13, so it just didn't... It didn't translate. Like, I think I understand what they were trying to do. It was trying to be like really, really funny.
I want to be a fly on the wall during the brainstorming session where they talk about that Eddie and Venom have a domestic dispute, and Venom is clearly like an abuser in this relationship. Like, literally breaks his bones sometimes and throws him against walls and stuff. And we're just like, ha, it's funny because it gets fixed right away, so it doesn't count technically. But then Venom breaks everything in the apartment. Throws the TV out, which is apparently Eddie Brock's prized possession. That's the one thing that he's just like, not the TV!
I mean, I understand that. I feel that, though.
Well, not the bike as well, so.
Oh, the bike, too, yeah.
That was the final thing, was the bike. The Ducati.
So Venom fully pulls like a Richard Pryor and shoots the engine of the truck, you know, before leaving.
Yeah.
And then he goes to a rave and just like, and then it's this the weird, like, that Venom is talking like he's been in a closeted gay man in a relationship, and he's finally willing to accept himself.
No, that's exactly.
He goes to the rave and he's like, he calls it his coming out party.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've been under Eddie this whole time, and now I'm myself, and everybody loves me. And everybody's like, well, you can be you. It's like, if aliens, and I was waiting for somebody who was like, yeah, you know, we got to respect the illegal aliens. Like, exactly. But they didn't do that. It was just, it was him weirdly being on stage during a hip hop show with glow sticks on, being like, everyone love each other. From Venom.
But the only saving grace to that was the cut, and this is just the part that I'm like, okay, I'm not completely pissed at that scene, was when you also see the fact he's fucking dying because he can't find a host. And so he's like literally starved. Remember, he like after that, he walks out and like passes the fuck out. So,
yeah, I think that was supposed to be an emotional response or whatever. But also, Venom killed a bunch of people over that course of time as he's incompatible host. He takes a body, that person dies, so he takes another body. But it's not a thing that's dealt with on any level, because who cares?
Or they're non-characters.
Even Mrs. Chen is like, oh, poor Venom. Like,
yeah
I don't care about this. Don't puke in my store.
I wish that they did the rave scene. First off, I loved the rave scene. It's terrible and it didn't need to be in the movie, and I also love it at the same time. It's so stupid and it's so unnecessary, but which means that I think they should have gone to 11 and like DJ Marshmello was there, and that's, and like Venom took over DJ Marshmello, and it's like Venom with the marshmallow helmet like DJing at the fucking club. Like, this next one goes out to my ex, Eddie. And just spinning.
Eddie.
Because I think they had gone off the rails so much at that point. Fuck it. Why not? And then you get a fucking guest appearance. Well, they did have, what's her face, the rapper that does a song about called Venom that was in the movie.
Yeah, I didn't know who that was.
It's some British rapper that, got some screen time, which great, but...
Yeah.
But then also had Venom do, I'm gonna let you finish, but...
If he had taken on, like, a rave kid posse to finish out the movie with him, so the rave kid posse shows up at the church to help him fight Carnage, and they all get murdered, of course, but that would have been fun.
Oh, man, that would have been amazing. Just some fucking candy kids and Venom.
We got your back, Venom!
Venom's wearing an Elmo backpack and has a pacifier necklace. Just fucking yes, 100%. Steven had a point.
I did. You kind of... Oh, no, I was going to say is they made Venom kind of look like a joke in this film for the majority of the part. I feel like the final, like the two different battles we had, one at the Foster school, hospital, whatever the fuck that place was.
Yeah.
Where he first, you know.
Like orphanage or whatever.
Orphanage, yeah, and yeah. Then the final battle. All right, Venom got his balls back. But, like, man, I feel like they did even more injustice to Carnage in this fucking movie,
I agree.
Dude. Like, mm-hmm. Holy fuck. Like, I remember, Hobbit, I said this back on the Venom episode. If they're going to do fucking Carnage, they need to fucking suck it up, do what Fox did at the time when they did Deadpool, and make a fucking rated R movie. Because
yeah.
Carnage has got to be one of the, if not the most violent fucking villain in the Marvel Universe. And,
like, on one hand, you've got basically the same plot as Problem Child with Venom and Eddie Brock. Like, Venom is the little kid that's running around that's starting fires and causing mischief, and John Ritter is the, like, the adoptive father that's just like, I'm so exhausted
Junior.
By this kid. But at the end of the day, he loves him anyway. Like, they have that dynamic. And then you've got the good son with Carmen.
Oh, is he Macaulay Culkin?
Macaulay Culkin. Then he's just like, I like murder.
Wait, so now Venom is Elijah Wood and Carnage is Macaulay Culkin.
Oh my
that's
God.
Fucking awesome.
Well, the thing is that's a rated PG-13 versus a rated R movie thing, because Carnage actually, he killed a whole prison full of people.
You barely saw it, though.
But you didn't see it. You didn't see him do the violence. You just saw the bodies hit the floor.
But no blood.
He killed everybody. So, yes, it should have been more effective in that way. But, yeah, that's like a PG-13 versus a rated R thing. Same for Venom, not to jump so far ahead, but Venom biting Cletus Cassidy's head off.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, but
I love that scene.
But the legs were cut out from underneath that scene a little bit, because you don't get the satisfaction of being able to actually tell what's going on. You just have to imagine that he is actually biting Cletus Cassidy's
yeah.
head off.
Exactly. No, I'm with you. And like, I really hope they learn with this one to do an uncut, unrated version. Like, I don't know why they didn't do that with the first Venom. It's like, come on, like, throw it on DVD, like, with Logan. They gave us unrated Logan, like,
mm-hmm.
and the R version was hardcore enough, but then we get an unrated version on DVD, like, sweet.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on, guys. It's not that hard to do.
You know, speaking of saving money on, you know, by making it PG-13, not having to show everything, you save some money on the gore, but also at the very beginning of the movie, and this is significant to me because it's not what they're doing with stuff in the modern time, they used younger actors with dubbed voices for the younger versions. You know what? I like that. I wish they would do that more, because the de-aged actors still doesn't quite get there most of the time. Sometimes it really does.
Once they do, that will be the way to go, but I understand what you're saying. I do. I get what you're saying with... Because I remember when you started talking, I'm like, wait, that really fucking... Did he, like, study Woody Harrelson's voice? I'm like, oh, no. It was dubbed. I'm like... Ah, more effective. I agree. I can agree with that.
Or they could just be like Looper, where they just like give JGL like a butt chin and be like, oh yeah, this is young Bruce Willis.
And like a
for
nose.
Sure.
But no, he
grind your teeth a lot.
Now he didn't have a butt chin. He had a nose that like some chick rode him really hard, came and broke that motherfucker. Okay, that like
his eye color too, right?
And his eye color, yeah. He wore contacts all the time, yeah.
The
yeah.
issue I had with the using Woody Harrelson's voice is that this is like a 16-year-old kid
mm-hmm.
that sounds like a 40-something-year-old man. There's a thing called pitch correction
they could have
like changed it by like a fraction of 1% just to lighten the voice ever so bit, because our voices all drop as we get older. That's
yes.
just a thing that happens. So don't have 55-year-old Woody Harrelson voice.
Scorsese mm-hmm. picture issue.
Yeah, it's just. Bitch, correct the voice. It is fucking 1.5 minutes of audio. It's going to take you to...
And we understand it.
It will cost the studio about $4 to do that.
And we know we have done this.
Because we do that, yeah.
It's just like, I wonder if something like happened one time where like they just used like the younger person's voice and someone's just like, that doesn't sound like the 60-year-old version of them. It's just like, just use the whoever's acting, just use their voice. Like everyone knows... This is a young Cletus Cassidy. Why is it need to be sound exactly like Woody Harrelson?
And I guarantee you that kid that played young Woody Harrelson was not told they were doing that in post. So he spent years like 3 months just watching every Woody Harrelson movie to get like the inflections right and how he held his body and trying his best to be like, this is my chance. If I do like a really good job of playing like a young Woody Harrelson, maybe another role with Woody Harrelson will come in, or that'll be my break. And he's trying to get the inflections right, and he's trying to do his best Woody Harrelson, and he brings his parents to the premiere, and he's so excited, I play young Woody Harrelson, and then 78-year-old Woody Harrelson's voice comes out of his mouth.
The Marvel has hit it across the park, out of the park, with a couple of their de-aging scenes. Like, most notably for me is Kurt Russell in Guardians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was probably the best they fucking
did a lot
ever
of that
done.
Practically, I think that's why it was so effective.
But because the majority is not up to par, that the technology of using the actor's voice and then pitch shifting is there. Like, mm-hmm. we have that.
Yeah.
That's the way to go right now versus trying to de-age everybody. But they didn't fucking pitch shift.
No.
Sorry.
See, I wasn't bothered by that. I was bothered by the lip sync wasn't quite there.
Yes, that too bothered me a lot.
Mm-hmm. You could see it.
And a lot of times it's not, though. There's other films going back that it's not there. Like, the lip sync isn't correct.
You know where it worked?
They do
Superman the Motion Picture.
You know, it works every episode of Drunk History. They do a better job at lip syncing people.
It wasn't that bad, dude. It wasn't that bad.
I think a famous one, too, is A League of Their Own. The old woman at the end. It's not... Gina Davis.
Right.
It's a different actress. And what's so funny is, like, they have all the older versions of the women, but they don't use Rosie O'Donnell's voice or Madonna's voice. It's like them. So it's like, why did you just use Gina Davis? It's like, it's an older woman with red hair.
Why did Kevin Costner not have a British accent in Prince of Thieves? There's just some questions we'll never have answers to. But
Penny Marshall made a decision, and we have to live by it.
You know what? I'm never going to say that I know better than Penny Marshall, so mm-hmm. I'll back off on that one.
No one should.
So let's get in a little bit into Carnage and his motivations. Now, I want to say that, Lowdown, you do have the first appearance of Carnage.
I do.
Yeah.
And the first appearance of Cletus Cassidy.
I remember when you got that.
Yeah, that was I got it for $25 and is now worth $500.
Nice.
I think.
You were so excited. You Man. Were so fucking
well,
excited.
I got it because I fucking love Carnage. Like, he is like my favorite Marvel villain. Like, he is just pure destruction. He was, to me, is what the Joker was for DC. He didn't
read
care.
That? Crossover?
You know? I would love that crossover,
wow.
Dude.
I have it. Yeah.
We actually have a coffee mug. There is a crossover. A Carnage coffee mug on the
table. What? I didn't know that existed.
On the table.
What? Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Excuse me. I got to go to the bed. I'll be in my bunk.
Yeah.
I just love Carnage so much. And the fact that I just found... And they had two copies. One was a little lower rated. I still should have bought it because they were both $25. I'm like, $50 for... I would have sold the shittier version.
Yep.
And then just have the nicer version for myself.
Yeah.
And I still would have made, like, I don't know, $420
yeah, right?
off
yeah.
the fucking thing. But, this movie, like, I knew after what Venom, how Venom came out, that I wasn't going to get the film I wanted. I wasn't going to get Carnage hitting the screen the way I wanted it to. Did Carnage look good? Fuck yeah. Like, that scene when the helicopters are flying and he's just spread all over the fucking orphanage and all that, that shit looked rad, right? But, as we stated earlier, did I get him murdering the entire prison? Did I get the Cletus Cassidy that burnt down a fucking orphanage in the comics? I didn't get that.
I think Carnage suffers from the same thing that we deal with Venom, is that and as we've seen him in Who Shall Not Be Named, Spider-Man 3, but also...
Is he coming in the... I wonder if he's going to be in No Way Home, by the way. Is he going to be the Venom in No Way Home?
Right?
Sorry. I just had to...
But having this symbiote for long enough, it changes your behavior. You become darker, angrier, eviler kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. And if that's the kind of version of Tom Hardy or Eddie Brock that we saw in this sequel, where he was allowing Venom to go out and kill bad guys more, he was becoming more of an anti-hero, he was kind of aligning closer to Venom's MO. Mm-hmm. And then you also saw that happening with Carnage, where, he's a psychopathic killer anyway, but instead of focusing on, gotta get my ex back, gotta go find her, and then we'll get married. So we can make a fucking father joke. Not that one. I mean, Venom is my daddy. Yeah.
I do love the first time she screamed when they were doing the escape. And he was like, if she does that again, I'm going to eat her fucking. Well, he didn't say fucking, but it was like he should have said, I'm going to eat her head. And it was like, at that point, he didn't take him seriously. It's like, no, like Carnage, like, will fucking murder her.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think that. It kind of informs that Carnage isn't really a fully developed character at this point. It's a new symbiote. It understands that it's like
a break-off
from...
The, He's a fractionated part of Venom.
So if you have that Eddie Brock is being influenced by Venom to a degree where he's becoming a darker person, and the child of Venom, Carnage, is being influenced by Cletus, to become more evil and more fucked up, then you have this nice little yin-yang thing happening. And that seemed like such a simple choice to make, and they didn't do it with either one of those those relationships.
Like, I feel like they should have done Carnage more as a child / like toddler learning. Because look, they do bring this up in the film, which was another easy push off point for the film, where Venom's like, I have thousands of years of, you know, he's an old
80
old
billion years of
symbiote. Yeah. He has been around. So to have a fractionated part to come off that is a fucking newborn, like, they would play more on the fact that Carnage is this way because he just doesn't know.
That's the Disney Plus TV series called the Carnage-Lorian, where it's baby Carnage.
Stop.
And
stop. Tondi, go, please. Stop.
So.
So fuck off. Go.
First of all, Tondi, go. You're fired. Yeah. And then after that, the yin-yang that they were going for, and they didn't really have enough time to develop this fully, but it's that Venom and Eddie are actually symbiotic, and Cletus and Carnage never quite got there, and that's what that's trying to drive home there. And, you know, Naomi Harris's character, what's her, Shrike or whatever her name is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She only exists to provide that discord between those two characters, so that relationship is different from this one where Venom actually loves Eddie's ex significant
more than Eddie, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. Much more than Eddie does, yes. But there's not enough time to develop that emotional core, which is fine, because I don't think that would necessarily be developed in any decent or functional way. It kind of get the gist of it. But yeah, I don't think it's fully developed enough for you to be like, oh, yes, of course. But yeah, that's the focus of that as opposed to the other thing.
Well, okay.
I agree and disagree. There is a point in the prison where he's escaping and they're shooting at Carnage, and the holes of his torso are opening up and bullets are flying through, which suggests that there is a symbiosis at that point between the two characters. And I can understand, because of the chaotic nature of Cassidy, that couldn't be something that stands too long, which is what you were saying. But the way they played it at the end was that, like, if Cassidy, like, got a girlfriend and he was roommates with Carnage, and Carnage was, like, kind of an alcoholic piece of shit, like, roommate that never really grew up. And one night they were all hanging out and Carnage, like, slapped his roommate's girlfriend, and Cassidy was like, bro, what the fuck? And then they start fighting. That's how the end of the movie was, where they're just like, no, fuck off. No, fuck your girlfriend. Fuck you, dude. That was, they're not symbiotic anymore. Like, that would be somebody else in the kitchen being like, dude, are you guys going to, like, move out or what's happening? Because this is rent controlled. I can move right in.
But you're right. Like, at least I think I'm following what you're saying, is the way they showed that they weren't symbiotic was so fucking, like, college humor level.
Yeah,
like,
and it was immediate. Team. It wasn't a slow progression. It was just literally like, hit my girlfriend again, I'm going to get mad. And then he did. And he's like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah. You're right. I do see that. And just because, like you said, during the prison scene, when he, like, Carnage separated and opened up parts of Cletus, that didn't mean they were symbiotic, because if you notice, when Venom's trying to find another host, they merge for a little while before he, like, kills
That's
it.
True. Yeah.
There's, like, there is a large portion of time where they are symbiotic for a little while. It's just they're not actually a match, so...
There's a point
where
it just
you.
Burns the body out.
I'd kill you. But so I think what we were seeing there was that, because they truly weren't symbiotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was just waiting for some, like, and we hopefully we'll run into it in now that, and this is jumping a little bit ahead, but that Venom is now kind of technically officially part of the MCU.
Oh, dude. All right. I don't know where we're at, but I got a lot to say about that fucking cutscene. Holy shit, we're kind of getting hard now.
Let's hold off, because we are right at the break. So let's take a break, and then we've got a couple things to address on the second half. And then we'll get into the future of Venom.
Right there with you.
The future of Venom.
More like a flick, though, right?
What? A flick? Oh my god.
I said fap.
It's like finger picking if you're a bass player.
Yeah. Slapping the bass.
Slapping the bass, yeah. Slapping the bass.
Flick like...
Yeah, it's not like you're fucking shooting marbles.
Like, yeah, I know. It's awful.
I didn't mean like that.
Well, it's... Everybody's stroke is different.
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't judge.
Well, this is wrong, so just letting you guys know.
If you're flicking a clit, you're doing it wrong, basically.
Gotcha.
Also, don't make the noise when you...
it broke the glass.
Oh, God.
Eddie, I'm sorry. you apologize to my girlfriend. She's the one that's really mad. That's the second post-credit scene you guys might have walked out before seeing is Michelle Williams laying in bed with Eddie Brock and Venom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Really?
No, not really. Okay. No. I wish.
He's totally fucking mad. Yeah. But I gotta say, one of the greatest scenes in that film was
Eddie,
Venom
turn
like,
her over.
Fuck this guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Just hearing him, they got one fuck and they used it right. PG-13, mm-hmm. One fuck, they used it right.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Eddie, I bet she likes to be choked a little bit. Venom, Jesus, just let me do my thing. No.
God, it's like worse than Dr. Manhattan, if you think about it. Like, you've got, like, it's not just Manhattan can, like, fucking chick while he's also creating something new in astrophysics or whatever. It's like, no, it's just like a symbiote saying, like, how to fuck her.
No, it's like vanilla Eddie Brock, and then there's the symbiote that who's, Venom face turns into a gimp mask, like, let's play.
That's when it turns into hentai, because Venom, he's a hentai monster. Mm. He's a tentacle monster.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Not as much as Carnage, though.
I'm sure he could be.
Carnage has got him beat.
Y'all haven't even talked about Venom's tongue. Like, completely missed.
That's fair.
That's whole...
fair. We don't get the tongue in the movie like we did in the first one.
How many nicks does it take to get to the center of
it? We use it in the first film. We're not going to use it again. Really, we didn't really get any, like,
action. You get the hardcore makeout that Carnage does in the
when
prison.
He licks the picture of a teenager on a television. Yes, you get it at that point.
Yeah, but that was the very end. And that was the cutscene. But I'm just saying, a huge part of Venom has been the tongue.
Sure, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, throughout his creation. Like,
his prehensile tongue, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prehensile tongue. Over here fanning herself.
I think that's it. Prehensile tongue is that what we got.
All right, on that note, let's get into our other stuff happening on the GUI network. We'll get back, we'll talk about our sponsors and get back into the Venomverse. So stick around, we'll be right back.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage. Great title.
Stop.
Yeah, super.
Oh.
Really big fan
of
that.
Fuck me.
Still pushing for Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, you know what? That would be harder to work in the dialogue than Let There Be Carnage, was said no less than 3 times during the movie.
I don't know. If like, somehow it worked to where Venom said it, it'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. It's like, Electric Boogaloo, Eddie. Like, it would be amazing.
And then it's just him watching Electric Boogaloo on TV. Oh my God. What if
right? That giant Eddie Brock, TV that Eddie is so proud of, and
Eddie
he's
Brock
watching Breakin' 2.
Really big fan of breakdancing. And he just
so
watches
good.
Yeah, Breakin' and Breakin' 2 are his like
so
two
good.
Favorite things of all
let
time.
There be raves.
Yeah, let there be
raves. That would even make sense for the dance part. Yeah. Oh, that could totally work that in.
Eddie,
well done.
Eddie,
well done.
I have respect for breakdancing, but this is 2021. We rave now. Eddie, show me how you floss.
And then Carnage comes in and turns a bunch of people in the dance floor into symbiotes, and Eddie Carnage's head sticks out and he's like, and it will truly be a planet of symbiotes. Cut to the next movie.
Done.
And then he screams dubstep, and you're like, no. Carnage,
why
Eddie, be in my next TikTok video.
Eddie, in this next one we are
What's the new TikTok thing that everybody's doing?
Oh, we are reacting to that Taylor Swift song while watching something we like on TV. I prefer Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo.
At Venom Lethal Protector 1.
At Lethal Protector 1 is pretty fucking great.
So everyone does know that that was the title of a Venom offshoot,
yeah,
right?
No, that was the run where he was actually teaming up with Spider-Man to fight
Carnage.
Yeah, in San Francisco. So
yeah, that's the one that he actually teamed up to fight Carnage, wasn't it? Or am I thinking of a different one?
I don't know if that's the same run offhand or not. I mean, it might be, but I don't know offhand.
Was there more than one? Because like, wasn't it Lethal Protector, but also Maximum Carnage?
No, it wasn't Lethal Protector. It was Lethal Enforcer. Was the one. Lethal Enforcer was the one.
Yeah. Maximum Carnage was one, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what everybody wanted.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I the first half, I clearly jizzed all over that and how much I wanted that. Yes.
Same.
Speaking about jizzing all over the stuff we want, the stuff that you want all exists at Amazon.com.
Oh, God.
Instead of jizzing all over it, how about you just go to GYpodcast.com and shop through our link? Going through our link ensures that we get credit for anything that you purchase on Amazon.com, including old Venom comics, the Carnage, Maximum Carnage.
I mean, they can jizz while they're doing it if they want to.
I mean, yeah, if you want
to. Who the fuck are you to judge?
That's the beautiful thing.
When they jizz.
Of using Amazon.com is that you are 99.999% less chance of getting arrested for jizzing while purchasing Venom comics at home than if you were to do that in any of your local comic shops. So
if shopping gets you off.
Yep. And
hey,
just make sure that you get us off also by shopping through our link at GYpodcast.com.
Giggity.
And there's tons of comics that dig into the Carnage mythos and the Venom mythos and their incorporation with Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse and everything that's happening with the MCU and the Sony-verse, which is slowly incorporating in.
Oh, yeah, no, Venom's canon now.
Yeah, Venom MCU. Is actually
canon in MCU. Because what they did with that was they made it one of the billions of experiences he's had through his life where he knew Peter Parker.
Yeah.
That lick was like, oh, no.
I know this
guy. He was like, this guy.
That guy.
I don't know if so that good. Was the case there. I think that was just product marketing.
I think that was Venom being like, I know this kid from that movie, The Impossible, about the tsunami. I was a really big fan.
I think I wanted to jizz in the theater regardless, whether or not it was fake or whatever. Like, I was like, yes.
No, seriously, it was a glorious scene.
See, so that is actually our real point of divergence, because the Venom franchise, it's fine. It's fine. But I could care less than not at all if that particular version of Venom ever comes to the MCU proper.
Well, I do want to get into why the tone was a little different than the first one and how that matches into the MCU. And maybe that's why the tone was a little bit different. But first, we got to talk about the real moneymaker for us here at GUI. Mm-hmm. And also the best way to support GUI, both by wearing the shit on your body or drinking out of a coffee mug with some GUI stuff. We're talking Tee Public.
Woo!
And 'tis the spooky season. We've got all of our limited edition spooky season stuff back on our Tee Public page, as well as new designs. We've got Let's Get Spooky. The 31 Days of Halloween for this year, we made a Let's Get Spooky design that has the shrugging skeleton meme with a thrashy GUI hat and a 40-ounce of...
Was that a skeleton from Spooky Skeletons?
I don't remember what cartoon it was from, but it's been used as a meme for years.
No, I know, but I mean, I feel like it was from the original Spooky Skeletons.
Very possibly.
I feel like.
But I would say definitely not, because of the amount of work I put into making that something that worked on a t-shirt and wasn't some faded fucking 480 pixel thing. Oh,
what I meant
on the screen
was
that I could say safely that I put so much work into basically fully redesigning that that there is no chance of us getting a cease and desist on that.
Because no. What I meant,
basically drew it myself.
What I meant was it was a rendition of a skeleton that had similarities skeleton.
There it is.
Skeletons.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
That's what I meant. I just was trying to do short form.
Yeah.
God damn.
Regardless, you need to get a t-shirt. All four people at this table right now, if you could see us, have logo shirts on, right? Nerdy logo shirts on right now. And we should all have T-Public shirts on right now. Do we? I don't.
I mean, I do.
Say, but yes.
You don't wear anything but.
I don't wear anything but my Tucci gang shirt.
It's,
But if you want some spooky designs for the Halloween season and you also want to support some of the shows on the network, the best way to do that is go to GUIpodcast.com/store, click on the TeePublic link, and anything that you purchase there, we get credit for. Also, it's got designs from all the other shows on the network, not just GUI, but we've got GUI Cthu, which has the GUI logo with the wings and tentacles of Cthulhu. We've got the Ouija board with Steven and I on it, and it's like board. And
was a fun one.
You've got Alcoholoween, and it's got Mike Myers wearing a fucking beer helmet. Lots of very dumb shit on there that is very fun. Perfect for this weather where you're wearing like a graphic t-shirt underneath a hoodie.
We've got the They Live, too.
The Obey. Yeah, Obey GUI,
that one, too. And the Live, Laugh, Love.
Oh, the Live, Laugh, Love human
centipede.
Guinipede or whatever.
Guinipede, yeah. It's just bodies together from the anus to mouth. I mean, it's the original OG ATM. Just saying.
Yeah, basically the design is that it's the design from human caterpillar, our centipede, that they're all ass to mouth, but instead of the red line that's the intestinal tract, it actually spells out live, laugh, love between the bodies. Yeah.
I have that on a coffee mug and I enjoy it with
that's
my
wonderful
coffee.
That's a very fun design. So check that out, GUIpodcast.com/store, or just click on the TeePublic link on our homepage at GUIpodcast.com.
I mean, it's really fucking terrible, but it's amazing.
I want to be the laugh.
And also, there are sales all the time, so if you see the shirts for like $20, just wait like a couple days and check again.
It'll be 13.
It's going to be like $13. There's sales all the time, especially during seasons like Halloween and Christmas and Thanksgiving. There's going to be tons of sales every week or two. So not like every other week, pretty much. So check that out and share it with your friends too. I mean, so if you want to get your toddler nephew a live, laugh, love human centipede onesie jumper, then that's an option as well.
You have to really know and understand the parents.
Yeah, that's true.
Get them that.
All right, we can't wear this to daycare, right?
You know, right?
Yeah.
Now, we are getting onto what really fuels the show besides the money we get from our sponsors. We're talking about the booze that we imbibe during the episode. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey! We're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You wanna know? Well, here you go. Hey!
Hey!
Spooky smash.
Spooky smash.
Spooky smash.
Gothic smash.
Gothic smash. Smasher of the opera.
Smasher of the
opera.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I concur.
So we've been treated to a really tasty treat by Tori this evening. Very thematically appropriate. Chocolatey goodness. Explain what we have.
Yes. I have made a delectable chocolate martini.
Chocolate.
Chocolate, Eddie. I need chocolate.
Chocolate martini.
It's very fitting.
Yeah.
I don't know that we actually talked about the significance of this earlier in the show, did we?
No, we talked about the chocolate and the brains.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little.
I know we talked about it before the show.
No, we talked about it. Was it?
Well, we can get into it after this tasty beverage here.
Yeah. Mm. So, chocolate martini, very easy to make. It's just 1-1-1, so 1 ounce vodka of your choice. I did Tito's. Chocolate vodka also works really well, and you will not know that there's anything in the drink if you do chocolate vodka. 1 ounce brown creme de cacao, and then 1 ounce Godiva chocolate liqueur. And then my secret is to use whipped cream instead of heavy cream.
Whipped cream?
What's the difference between the whipped and the heavy?
I think that if you use like a liquid, like heavy cream or milk, it tastes too much like chocolate milk, which, I mean, this does kind of taste like chocolate milk, but you get like a fluffiness to it. It's like tastes more like a cocktail to me. Mm. When you get the whipped cream, it's like lighter, airier. I mean, it's just a lighter tasting drink. Like when you use like heavy cream or milk, it's going to taste like heavier.
That's gonna sit
and
heavier,
it's going to sit heavier in your stomach. Mm. This is more like, ooh, this is a light and airy.
And you're like, yeah.
Oh yeah. You could definitely have like more than one of this, but I mean, very easy.
With heavy cream, it would be.
You don't need chocolate sauce. You don't need anything fancy. Just those literal three ingredients with the whipped cream. Shake it up real cold and strain it.
Nice. I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
The only ingredient is just the vodka. How do you think it would affect the flavor if you swapped it out for the espresso vodka? With the chocolate, you think it would add?
That would just taste more. I mean, I can also make a good espresso martini.
Mocha.
You know, it could. If you use.
Mochatini?
You could mochatini? Yeah, I don't know the specs for mochatini.
I have so much energy,
but I think that would be a good way to do like a mochatini.
Yeah, you use espresso vodka. Everything else stays the same, so it's it's a one-to-one thing.
Yeah.
You just swap out the standard vodka with the espresso vodka. You just add that level.
I feel like around here anyway, I mean, it's been a while, but I feel like the espresso vodka is a little hard to find. So I would just use regular espresso and then regular vodka, but then like maybe a little bit of Bailey's in there.
Or even a cold brew. You could add some cold brew to that and be pretty good to go.
Oh, yeah. You could use the Belle Isle Moonshine cold brew.
Yes, absolutely.
You should totally use that.
The nod to the Bailey's because... good shit.
Yeah.
Plain chocolate martini, just the three ingredients.
And also for this episode, definitely thematically appropriate. When you're watching Venom, once it eventually comes out on digital, and you're sitting there with your fancy martini, Symbiote smashes Tom Hardy against walls and tells him to get the fuck out. And he's like, I live here. And you're laughing at a domestic dispute. Yes, a chocolate martini.
Get out, Eddie.
Is the perfect addition for that endeavor. So thank you so much for bringing us this tasty beverage. Yes,
it was very enjoyable.
You're very welcome.
It's very enjoyable.
Too enjoyable. I could drink like five of those and then feel very unfortunate about that choice.
Yes, you would not only be drunk, but you're also probably a tummy ache.
Most likely a tummy ache for sure. So we did want to get into... moving to this, the end credit scene and the addition of Venom into the MCU camp before we get too much further into anything else. My opinion on the change of tone actually comes with that is that you go from the tone of the original Venom movie and there needed to be a little bit more playfulness for that Venom character to properly incorporate into the MCU. But also you don't have the oversight that the MCU has to be able to hit that note exactly properly. So you have a deft director that understands CGI characters and their interactions on screen with a note from the MCU to make it a little bit more approachable and fun and family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is what you end up getting because there isn't a way to make it the right kind of Marvel formula because it's still under the Sony camp. And that's kind of what I gathered from this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was kind of like with all the negotiations and all the back and forth they did, they were making these like Sony properties. So, you know, like Morbius is coming out. They're making all these like separate, they're going to do Sinister Six, Spider-Man properties that aren't necessarily going to be involved in the MCU. But then I guess like something happened where they're just like, okay, well, we have to make Venom more
literally family friendly. Tom Holland called Feige drunk and said he didn't want to stop playing Spider-Man.
That
started the negotiations again.
Please, mate, please don't.
I like being Peter Parker. Please don't take that away from me, sir.
I don't know why
it sounds like Michael Caine, but.
Zendaya said she would leave.
He kind of has a Cockney accent. He really does.
Wait a little bit. I promise I won't
spoil.
Give any more spoilers to the people, Snowmalls.
Can I have some more?
I won't do it.
That's like, all right, that's heavy Kane. You went like full Kane. You never go full Kane. But
Sony just wants to see the world born.
Born?
Yeah, I don't know where fuck? That. I lost it right at the end there.
You threw me off. Fuck you, man. You threw me off. I had a good fucking point.
Okay. So.
Yeah, you bastard. but no, I feel like Sony's trying to create, well, they're not they're trying to, they are doing their own thing with this, but Sony still does own Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They're, you know, Spider-Man's still on loan to the Marvel, and they could technically pull that whenever they, and once the contract's over, they're just like, ah, we're not re-upping, we're just taking them back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the MCU is now without a Spider-Man. But with the multiverse opening up, they could still make that work, but also Tom Holland is an amazing Spider-Man. We don't want to lose that because we see what happens when we don't get really good backing for a Spider-Man. We get Andrew Garfield. Anyway.
Oh,
you mean the movie where all the bad guys announce their name without any reason why?
I'm the Rhino. I'm Electro.
I'm the guy who likes Tom Holland. I like Tom Holland.
I like Tom Holland.
I mean, I like Andrew Garfield, rather.
Oh, no. Yeah. He wasn't a bad Spider-Man. He was a terrible Peter Parker.
He was a horrible
Agreed.
Peter Parker.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Yeah. Tom Holland crushes both, and he's the only one to crush both. Yep. Tobey Maguire didn't crush both. Andrew Garfield didn't crush both. Tom Holland is the only one to kill both.
Correct.
It's kind of like the same thing with Batman and Bruce Wayne. Like, we have never... Christian Bale was a great Batman. He was not a good Bruce Wayne. And Ben Affleck was a great Batman, not a great Bruce Wayne. Like, people can't do both. It's fucking
crazy. Well, Michael Keaton did.
He did.
He's a different beast.
He's
also, she gave you dagger eyes.
And
that was also, kind hold of on, Batman. Hold on, hold on. That was also 40 years ago. So,
well, he can also be Vulture, so.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton can
And he's still Batman, so he's coming.
He's coming back
as
Batman.
Oh, yeah, he's coming back as Batman,
No, I just mean,
I totally get what you're
Michael
saying.
Michael Keaton was, but he was also 40 years ago. If we're going to do more Batman, maybe get something within those 40 years that can kind of do both.
I mean, we're going to see with Robert Pattinson soon.
We'll
I've
see.
Heard, the things I've heard are pretty
I've heard it's
intense.
Basically a horror movie and a hard R horror movie at that as
Yeah,
well,
but
so.
They still haven't said it's a hard R, so.
Yeah. I mean,
people haven't released it.
People are saying that's kind of the most likely case is a hard R.
I mean, I think that he could surprise, like, we're getting a little off topic of Venom, but, like, you know, people, you know, were, like, mad about Heath Ledger.
True.
My understanding is that he's doing a Stinky Bruce, and I don't care for
Stinky
that.
Bruce.
Yeah, I don't care for the Stinky Bratty Bruce. That's funny. Like, I feel like that's what we're getting, right? But no, I'm all for an R with that, just to get through this so we can get back to Venom. But, if they're going to do an R Batman, I think that's what all Batman movies should be, because that is Batman. He will beat you to a pulp and just not kill you. But an R rating is required to actually see someone beat to a bloody pulp and put in the ICU.
Yeah.
So if we get that, I am all for that, 100%. I just don't want a bratty fucking Bruce Wayne. I don't want that.
What I'm confused about with the rating system, because, well, the rating system is fucking garbage anyway, is that you're allowed, what, like two fucks in a PG-13 movie?
One.
It's just one? Okay, just one. So they use their one fuck. Fuck that guy. Or
fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. Okay, fuck pretty good usage.
Fuck this guy. It's this guy, yeah.
But also the gore factor, there's a certain amount of gore that's acceptable in PG-13 before it gets too much. Mm-hmm. But then I look at the fucking Walking Dead that's on network television.
TVMA, different rating scale. Different ratings.
But that's you know, get your shit in line. Is that somebody can access this? Kids can access this on fucking regular
Netflix.
Television.
And everybody Netflix. Has Netflix.
And Netflix, and there's like unrated or MA rating, but MA rating is so vastly different depending on the network television or Netflix. And then you got PG-13, where literally you can't see a guy cartoonishly bite another guy's head off. And I'm like, that's not something they're going to try to recreate. Like, isn't that the worry with violence, is that kids are going to try to recreate it? I would love to see the kid that's able to unhinge their jaw enough to bite off his friend's head.
That was the initial threat back in the 80s when a bunch of stay-at-home moms and Stepford wives were like, oh, this is horrific for
this
our
is,
children.
As it's put in the PG-13s in Marvel, it's comic violence. It's not real-looking violence.
No, it looks fucking comical.
Yeah.
PG-13 in the beginning, when that rating first came out, you could get like half a titty in PG-13. Is that still a thing?
No, you got a titty in PG with Jaws.
Yeah, but is that still a thing?
No, you can get butt, I think, in PG-13, but you can't get titties anymore.
No, half a titty.
No,
but
half
you
a
can
titty.
Get straight titties and the fuck on TVMA on FX. I've seen some straight titties while a chick's getting banged out on FX.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that's TVMA. Which, where are we going with that? I'm just saying, like.
I think maybe it's just like a bigger like question of just like who is still actually going to the movies and going to the theater. especially like after this pandemic, because there's so much streaming service. So maybe it's like older people or like people with children,
families, yeah,
families, they're actually still going to the theater. Like, I mean, I used to go to the movies all the time, but ever since the pandemic, I've only been twice, which is crazy for me.
Once they opened back up, I've been every release. Personally, I've been every release since they opened back.
But sure, I'm saying,
who
I
else
mean,
is doing that, though? I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, the small group of, like, nerds that are still, like, doing that. Sure. Hey.
But I think it's a recognition of the material is that the right down dead in the middle PG-13 movie, it, like, it's a fucking factory system, is the MCU. Mm-hmm. They know how to make a movie that is basically a PG movie, but they say shit a few times.
Yeah.
You know, that it
has
Captain enough,
America corrects.
Yeah, the Captain America corrects. That it's still very much a movie that even though it's PG-13, you take your like 9 or 10 year old kid to and you're not going to feel too bad about it. You're not going to feel like a bad parent. But they feel like they're getting away with something because somebody on screen says shit. And you're like, yep, you're welcome. I'm a good parent because you got to see a movie where shit was said in it. That's a good PG-13 movie. Venom is trying to be a dark movie with a PG-13 rating, it doesn't fucking work. You've got to have that as an R rating because the material requires it to be an R rating.
Fucking agreed. And also, why is that our fucking standard for rating system? Like, you were saying, like, you know, you go to this movie, they should shoot a few times, you don't feel like you're a bad parent. God damn it, I was watching fucking Freddy stab a chick across the ceiling when I was like 8. Yeah. I don't think my parents were bad. I just realized that, like, you'd watch that and you have a conversation with your young child who is at that age not a fucking idiot. And you like, well, I'm just saying, like just because it's PG-13 and you say you can feel safe about taking your kids to see it, it doesn't mean that your kids can't handle something harder and you have a conversation with them.
No, I will be a little bit of a devil's advocate here, only because when I was younger and I started watching the Freddy movies, which, you know, is my favorite slasher, I did have a problem for a little bit of entering my friend's dreams and trying to kill them in them. And so...
Oh, God.
So I can understand there being a little bit of a hesitance when there's like realistic violence, like literally entering someone's dreams or biting someone's head off.
I firmly believe...
Or getting an alien symbiote to like give you superpowers.
Bullshit. I got some real shit. All I'm saying is I firmly believe that some of this rating system goes to fucking parents, parent your fucking children, man.
Yeah.
Have a conversation with them. Like, I have let my son watch, like, he saw the fucking kill scene in Kingsman when he was 12. The church scene in the first Kingsman, that's some fucked up shit.
That's amazing.
But it is pretty hard
for us, but he's 12. Like, I'm just saying, like, have the conversation with your kids, and you're like, you can even preemptively be like, hey, there's a lot of stabbing through heads, explosions, it's very gory. Are you sure you want to watch it? Like, cool. It's like, by the way, you can't do any of this. Like, it's a simple conversation you can have with your kids.
You can't stab people with a table leg. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's simple things to talk to your kids about to, like, make them realize this is fake. Like,
yeah, I think that what I'm about to say is like a perfect example of what like movie studios think that like parents will do or whatever. I remember when I was working at Hollywood Video, like when I was like 17, it was when Mean Girls came out and a mom came in with like her 14-year-old and like her 12-year-old daughter and they saw like the big poster and they're like, mom, can you mean? She's like, no, you will never watch that movie. That movie's terrible. They say all these terrible things. Like, you're never going to see that movie. So she like browses around. She comes back downstairs, slams The Passion of the Christ on the counter.
Mel Gibson's movie?
Yes. And verbatim, I will never forget this ever. Verbatim, she looked me dead in the eyes and said, they need to see this because it happened. So she was so against them seeing Mean Girls, but they needed to see this ridiculously gory pattern.
Brutal. That movie.
That happened in 2004, and I will never forget it.
There's not a lot of movies that make me feel unsettled. That fucking movie.
That's fucking gross.
It fucked me up.
He did his job.
Oh my God.
Made her 14 and 12 year old girls watch it. I think that's what, like, people. I mean, those are the people that complain to the studios and are like, this, because that's the thing. I mean, it's just the Karens of the world, the Kevins of the world that just complain and they just want to please them. And that's just why Venom is stupid and PG-13.
You know what? Karens aren't the majority. Fuck the Karens.
They're not.
Please the fucking majority. If you're talking about majority rule, which is how we also run the country,
yeah,
like, fuck the Karens, okay?
it's always going to be hard when you have like a rule that applies to everyone. It's going to apply to mostly no one. With the, like,
fair.
Yeah. Like you have fair. The kids that are like so hypersensitive. Like I got two nephews. One is was obsessed with horror movies and was watching The Exorcist when he was like fucking 8. And he's like, yay, I want to watch it again. Not affected. Like not at all. No nightmares. Not affected at all. What else you got? Fucking put some more rounds of horror movies in the chamber. I'm ready to fucking go. Like he's that guy. And then I got the other nephew that was like, even the most minor gore was like, nah, I'm just going to go read a book.
Yeah, no.
So it's so subjective that you can't make a fucking hardline rule that actually applies to everyone.
You
when you do PG-13, half the kids are going to be like scared of the amount of level of like even fucking cartoonish explosions and violence that happens there. And the other half are going to be like, this is boring. Where's the stabbing? There's no stabbing in this. There's not one person bleeding out in this movie. Can we go watch another fucking Scorsese film? Because I enjoyed
Yay.
That.
Mm-hmm. Get the axe to the face. What's up? Yeah.
And there's the kids in the middle. They're just like, yeah, cool. This is exactly perfect. This is exactly my bag. But the middle is exactly that. Just
the middle.
10% of the population. Yeah. That's the perfect fucking rating for them.
And you know, you're right about the how it depends on the person. Like me, I was watching like, you know, Freddy, Jason, Myers, all that when I was like, I think the first time I watched one of those films, I was 6. So then like moving forward, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. Like, my cousin, same age as me, he was like 6 months different, came over. And we, like, didn't get approval from my aunt because my mom was trying to be respectful. Like, yeah, he can't watch this, but even though I could. I was like, fuck that. And we just, like, snuck up and watched the movie. Yeah, I got fucking grounded for that because that motherfucker had nightmares for like 2 months from watching fucking Nightmare on Elm Street.
I think everybody has a version of that where they got their friend in trouble or their friend got them in trouble because
my cousin literally got fucked up by like he had nightmares of Freddy for like 2 months after watching that and that fucked me up.
And like, your cousin was the whole next generation. Where they, we know Carnage's body is made out of like biological knives, basically, but we can't show that. So, here.
That, you know, that tornado. Is a great description of Carnage. Yeah. Biological knives. Yes. Mm-hmm. We didn't get any of that. No? We got some tongue and throat fucking.
We got him as a tornado, though.
I'm a tornado. Like, that kills me.
Yeah, we got some tongue throat fucking. That's not sexual at all and weird. Yeah, no, but it's fine. Like,. I mean, is that not weird?
Like, it's weird. It's weird that it didn't go further than it did. Like, it should have been rated R just so there was going to be like a weird Top Gun silhouette scene of like Venom fucking Eddie Brock. Like, we needed that in this movie. Tori is on board. Tori is super.
Well,
she's
seen what he's done with his tongue. That's what he can do with his dick. I'm just saying.
I just heard Venom fucking, and I just like lost my train of thought because I keep thinking about him licking Tom Holland's picture. You all got aroused by that, right?
Was it just me licking the picture of an underage child?
No. I didn't get aroused by that. I'm just kidding.
We're not. Yeah. We're not even allowed to say that in jest that we were aroused by that. There's
no warrants, bitch. That's why I didn't ask for it. It got installed the minute we turned this into a studio. There's a red alarm. If you look in the corner, there's a red alarm in here. That goes off anytime we even jokingly suggest that we want to like lick boys. It just goes off. And then the FBI comes and arrests us.
To be fair, Tom Holland is in his 20s.
He is.
I've heard that similar argument from other female friends that are just like, I mean, he's technically in his 20s.
Yeah.
He plays a teenager, whatever. Yeah. You know, he's in his 20s. It's cool.
Okay, so on that gross note, let's finish off this episode here by doing our drunken scenes. And I did send them to everybody on their phones.
Because it's working now.
Because now, we are recording this the day that will be known as legend is that Facebook went down for like 4 hours. And it was closer to 8, I want to say.
Yeah, it was longer. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, people were losing their fucking minds. And I just felt like I got a better understanding of why Thanos chose to snap half the universe. Because the level of peace I got by not even having the option to go to Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm having a lovely day. I'm not touching my phone nearly as much. I'm just going on about my business. I'm just enjoying the day. And it was even a slightly warm day, but I didn't care. It was a good time. I enjoyed myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, Thanos, you know what? Maybe.
Making a drunken scene. So the first one we have here is we've got a Venom versus Eddie Brock conversation. We've got a Warden versus Cassidy conversation. I don't know if anybody's leading any particular way.
I'll take Cassidy. That's minimal.
I mean, I do like doing the Venom voice, but I can also do something else as well.
I'll do Venom.
I'll do Warden.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do Eddie Brock.
There we go.
Okay. And actually, I already have an idea on how to do Eddie Brock. So for Venom and Eddie Brock, we've got Tori doing Venom, me doing Eddie Brock. So whenever Venom is ready.
She's got to get low.
Eddie. Eddie. We should be out there snacking on bad guys. I'm a predator. I need to be free.
You have to get control of your aggression, man, or you will be pulled down into Area 51. You live in my body. You live by my rules.
That is a choice.
It's like very like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a choice that was made. Nope, we're moving totally. On very quickly to the Warden and Cletus. So Warden, we've got Tondi, you're doing Warden.
Mm-hmm.
And Lowdown, you are doing Cletus Cassidy. Mm. Whenever you're ready.
Cletus Cassidy, you have been tried, convicted, and sentenced to death by the state of California. May your passing bring closure to the victims' families, and may you find peace in the hereafter.
Soon come chaos soon come.
Yep.
Are those your final words?
Enjoy the show.
I want Tondi to read erotic fiction in that voice. I
what,
think
like 1950s like... detective? What the fuck?
I was going for Patrick Stewart.
You should have done the Woody Harrelson impression that Jonah Hill did in This Is the End.
Oh, God damn it. You're right. I should have. That was awesome.
I just want everyone to smoke weed.
I was actually going for a mix between Woody Harrelson and also like that, you know, that super country dude that was on the old Disney movies, like Robin Hood. He was like the fucking jester guy.
Yeah.
Like there was that, you know, like, hey, guys, you know, like mm-hmm. I was kind of going for that.
Nice.
Mixed with Woody Harrelson. Yeah.
Well, clearly, we have a future in voice acting, so definitely Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2 is I think, close to done. They might need some voice acting done.
Looking for some voice actors?
They need some voice actors. Mm-hmm. We clearly have this, like, this cavalcade of talent here at GY.
Do they have some, like, horrible, like, drunken slash drug-addicted scenes they need us to do?
I think
do?
They're going to write one in just for yeah.
I want to be so. Old Aunt May.
Yeah, there we go. Tondi, old Aunt May.
You're like trans Aunt May.
Oh.
I'm gonna have some weird sex dreams later.
Whoa! So. we got teens. We got
teens. We got long
trans
tongues.
Aunt Mays, we got all.
Dude, you're
having that fun tonight.
Oh, it's gonna be a party for sure.
Mm.
And I hope it was a party for you listening to this episode of Geeks Under the Influence about Venom 2. Definitely make sure you rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, join us on social media. All that stuff is at GYpodcast.com. Join the conversation. GeeksUnderTheInfluence@gmail.com. Our hotline number, 804-505-4484. That's 804-505-4GUI. We want to hear what you want to for episodes in the future, what you liked about previous episodes. And definitely, if you can, please rate us on Apple Podcasts, rate us on Podchaser, wherever you can rate the show, because it does make us show up more in the suggested results, which means other people can enjoy this dumb shit just as much as you do. So help us out, tell a friend, buy some merch, subscribe, and we'll find you next time for another episode of Geeks Under the Influence. I'm Mike the Hobbit.
Join us or die, Eddie.
You just totally took my voice for shut the fuck up.
Oh, no! Join us or die.
No, it's done.
No?
It's done.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. It's perfectly fine.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIpodcast.com.
Give any more spoilers to the peoples, no more.